ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद्भागवताख्यवयम् प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेवहि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थम् भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयम् सफला सर्वथा त्वयाम् निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यम् दासोऽहम् तव केशव भवे भवे भयधा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तदा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्त्वम् नो यद प्रभो नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् यस्य सर्वभावप्रणाशनम् प्रणामो दुःखशमनम् तम् नमामि हरिम् परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादिदरदश्चातेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदय आदिगवये मुह्यन्ति यल् सूरयाः तेजो वारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषाधाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुपगम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्झितकैदवोत्रपरमो निर्मत्सराणाम् सदाम् वेद्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदम् अवत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किम् वा परे ईश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणान् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितम् फलम् शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतम् पिबद भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहोरसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय निश्योल्पत्यादिहेदवे तावत्त्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेदम् अपेदकृत्यम् द्वैवायनो विरहगातरमाजुहावाम् पुत्रेदि तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिम् आनदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेघम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिदीक्षताम् तमोन्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससोऽनुम् उपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम् नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयन् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणु कुणिताधृदाननेन्दोः मम वाजि विजृम्भताम् मुरारे मधुरिण कनिकापि कापि कापि नमाओम् विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमति भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वति देवीम् गौरवाणी प्रचारिणि निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणी श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्याम् नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणाम् पादरेणुमभीष्णश या संहैगदोद्गीतम् पुनादीभुवनत्रयम् श्रीगोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरम् करविराजितचक्रशङ्खम् कौमोदगी सरसिजम् करुणासमुद्रम् राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासम् बालालयेश मनिशम् हृदि भावयामि सो लास्ट् सन्डे वि वर् टाकिङ्ग् अबौट् श्रीनारद महर्षीस् instructions to write Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedavyasa Maharshi, following the instructions from Narada Muni, started writing Srimad Bhagavatam, and at that time Ganesh came to help Vedavyasa to write down Bhagavatam. This is where we stopped. Now Vedavyasa Maharshi in the Bhagavatam at that point takes us into Mahabharata. The reason being that in that instance that Kunti Devi and Bhishma, both of them, they had glorified Krishna. And prior to their glorification, under what situations or circumstances Kunti Devi has glorified Krishna, or Bhishma Pitamaha also glorified Krishna, Vedavyasa was bringing us to the Mahabharata war. That is how we go back into Mahabharata again, Mahabharata at that point. So we went to Mahabharata war. At the end of the war lasted 18 days, and millions and millions of people got killed in the war. And Balaram, Lord Balaram, who saw the disaster, the impending disaster, what was going to happen, decided to go on a pilgrimage. And this pilgrimage is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam as well as in the Mahabharata also. As soon as it was decided that the war is going to happen, just few days before that, that Balaram sensed the situation, and he tried his best to bring peace between the Kauravas and the Pandavas. But he realized that it was an effort which is not going to fructify in a positive way. So he decided to go on this pilgrimage, and he thought that it is better for him to keep away from this war for various reasons. Duryodhana was his disciple. Although Duryodhana was never a good disciple of Balaram, in many instances his behavior was not up to the standard of a good disciple. But still, being a disciple, Balaram did not like to side with Bhimasena, because they were relatives of Balaram. And one side they have the Pandavas, and on the other side they have the Kauravas, and Balaram was on the Mandi Yadavas. So in any way, he decided that he will go on this pilgrimage. And when he went on this pilgrimage, he visited many, many holy places, the famous temples, and also he went to Tirupati, to Srirangam, to Rameshwaram, and so many places. It's listed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Balaram, after all this all this pilgrimage, he came back to the kingdom, and then he decided to travel to Kurukshetra. When he got to Kurukshetra, Sri Narada Maharshi came to see him. Sri Narada Maharshi told Balaram that the war is over, almost over, and now all that is left is Duryodhana and a few other soldiers who used to assist Duryodhana in the war, particularly Ashwatthama, Kruthavarma and Kripacharya. Kripacharya is the brother-in-law, or you can say the uncle of Ashwatthama. Drona's wife was Kripi, and Kripi's brother is Kripacharya. And Kripacharya was left behind, Ashwatthama was left behind, and also Kruthavarma, a commander of the Kaurava army. So Balaram came to Kurukshetra. And in Kurukshetra, when Narada Maharshi told him that the war is almost come to an end, but all that is now left out is a club fight between Duryodhana and Bhimasena. This was decided, and it was also certain that it was going to end up like this, that Duryodhana had wanted to fight Bhimasena. And it was with this intention that Dhritarashtra has taken Duryodhana to Balaram to get him trained in the fighting with the club. And this was a shrewd move from Dhritarashtra, that he could train Duryodhana in that way. And this happened at a time when there was a slight difference of opinion between Krishna and Balaram in Dwaraka. Sensing the situation, Balaram was living in Mithila at that time, on account of the Samantaka jewel, that there was a difference of opinion between Krishna and Balaram. This news spread in the whole country, and through spies, this information reached in the ears of Dhritarashtra as well. Dhritarashtra came to know that Balaram is not living in Dwaraka for the moment, he is living in Mithila with his friend, and it is not a bad thing that if I can send my son, Duryodhana, to Balaram and to request him to train him in the art of fighting with the club fighting. So when Balaram was approached by Duryodhana, without thinking enough that what problems it was going to bring later, as a Kshatriya he accepted that to train Balaram, decided to train Duryodhana in the club fighting. So at this point we have to understand that although Dhritarashtra was blind, you can see now, has he had a better vision than anybody else? This is what it comes out, that although he was blind, in his material eyes he was blind, his vision was far more ahead than anybody else. And that is why this shrewd arrangement that he made with Balaram to train Duryodhana. Balaram trained Duryodhana, and Duryodhana became very expert in the club fighting. So anyway, when Balaram came back, he realized that these two have decided to fight each other. At least, Balaram thought, at least this last moment, some sense will come to their head. This is what he was trying to do. So he went from Kurukshetra, he went to Samanda Panchakam, where the club fight was arranged. And in that Samanda Panchakam, both Duryodhana and Bhimasena and all the Pandavas were present there. And the club fight was decided. At that time, Balaram approached Bhimasena and Duryodhana and requested them to give up this fight. Because Balaram told them that by this fighting, none of you will going to lose your life. And at the end, what are you going to gain from this? After all, so many millions of people have died in this war. So many women have become without their children. So many of the women have lost their husbands. So many children are left behind without the father. And like this, Balaram started explaining to them all the repercussions of the war to them. But nothing went into their ears. When he approached Bhimasena, Bhimasena started reciting one after the other everything what Duryodhana has done towards the Pandavas. Like the Duryodhana's ability to put them into fire, and also how Bhimasena was pushed into the river where he was poisoned, and so many other instances where Duryodhana tried very, very hard. And eventually, even when Krishna went to beg to them to give some land for them to live, even that was refused by Duryodhana. All these things, and particularly the insult to Panjali, to Draupadi, that was recited by Bhimasena. And Bhimasena has taken a vow at that time that he will take revenge on this basis, purely because the way Panjali was insulted in the assembly of the, in the Dhritarashtra's assembly. So, from there, Bhimasena could not control himself, and all the enmity, what was burning inside his heart, came out. And Balaram decided at that point, there was no point in talking to Bhimasena. Let me talk to my disciple Duryodhana now. So he went to Duryodhana and started saying to Duryodhana that, look, Duryodhana, this is the situation now, that it is no point in being inimical about it. But Duryodhana was equally adamant about it. He mentioned to Balaram that, look at these people, these Pandavas. They are not worthy even to be called Kshatriyas, because all that they have done during the war was purely cheating, right from the beginning. They killed Bhishma on that pretext. They killed Drona on the same way. They killed Jayadratha in the same way. They killed Karna also in the same way. And now, and I do not think that they deserve there is no logical reasoning in trying to tell them that about morality or dharma. So Duryodhana was saying his point of view, and Bhimasena was reciting his grievances. And like this they continued. Balaram tried very, very hard to bring them a peace agreement, but it did not work. And then Balaram decided to stay out of it. In that instance, Sukadeva Goswami, Shishaka Brahma Sri in the Srimad Bhagavatam, says two words about these two sides. It says, Duryottam Dushkridanija. That Duryottam Dushkridanija, that they had no pious activities behind them, that they could take Balaram's word seriously. If you look at in this world, this the same is the situation. Once the enmity builds up between two groups of people, that enmity is difficult to wipe it out. That is, it is necessary that the leaders have to realize this, that if the enmity is cultivated between any society, one, two groups in the society, it automatically ends up in enmity, further grows further and further, and it ends up in a war. And there is no coming back from that. So anyway, Balaram realized this. Vishukan says there, Duryuktam Dushkridanijaha. That it is impossible to bring them to an agreement, and Balaram left it like that. So eventually it was decided that the war should be fought between Duryodhana and Bhimasena. And in Samanda Panchakam, on an appropriate day, they decided to fight it out. And when the fight happened, the Pandavas were there, Krishna was also there. The whole person behind this whole planning was actually Krishna. Krishna knew that this has to happen, because Duryodhana's activities was not at all impressive to Krishna. And Krishna decided the day when he went to see them and to request Duryodhana to come to an agreement. Duryodhana actually, on the other hand, offended Krishna. And once you offended Krishna, the result is, one can imagine that what is going to come out of it. So Krishna has decided that day that the fight should happen, and it was agreed, and the fight started. When the fight started, for a long time it lasted, the fight between Duryodhana and Bhimasena. In the middle of this fight, Arjuna asked Krishna, who is going to win this fight? Krishna answered to Arjuna that by skill in fighting the club, actually Duryodhana is superior. But as well as strength is concerned, Bhimasena is powerful, more powerful than Duryodhana. So eventually Bhimasena has told me that he is going to kill Duryodhana, and he will do that, so there is nothing going to be different. This was Krishna's words to Arjuna. Arjuna, as soon as he heard this, he realized that Krishna's instruction was that Duryodhana was going to be beaten by Bhimasena by the club on his thighs. Actually, according to the law, of fighting, it was not allowed to fight. It was not allowed to hit anybody below the waist. That was the law of the fighting in the club. But somehow or the other, it so happened that Bhimasena decided that he has to do it. Otherwise, it was impossible for him to fight Duryodhana. So when the fighting was going on, Arjuna started clapping on his lap very strongly. And it was an indication to Bhima that he has to act very fast before anything happens and hit Duryodhana on his thighs. So at one instance, when Bhimasena has started beating with the club, immediately to escape from that, Duryodhana jumped high. And when Duryodhana jumped high, Bhimasena hit him on his thighs very strongly. The hit was so powerful that Duryodhana collapsed and fell down. When he fell down, he could not get up from that anymore. And that was the end of Mahabharata war, the last fight between Duryodhana and Bhimasena. And when this happened, Bhimasena did not stop there. That was the unfortunate thing. Bhimasena finished, although it was not appropriate what he has done according to the law. What Bhima has done was not very impressive to many of the people who were assembled there. But worse than that, Balaram, who was watching the fighting, immediately saw that and he wanted to kill Bhimasena straight away. Because Balaram could not accept that what he has done was against the law, against the rule of the fighting. And he thought that he should stop Bhimasena, what he has done, he should punish him. Balaram took his weapon, plow, and started moving towards Bhimasena. Krishna came forward immediately and stopped Balaram from doing anything and started consoling him, telling him that all what has happened and that how this plan was devised before, that Duryodhana has to be beaten. But Balaram could not be convinced on that point. Balaram thought that Pandavas were not acting in the morally right way, and he started speaking against Bhimasena very, very strongly. But in the middle of that, Bhimasena did something which was much more disrespectful. That Bhimasena, unable to control his own emotions, moved towards Duryodhana, who was lying there, and started standing on top of his head. And when he stood, not only he stood on top of his head, and he started repeating everything what Duryodhana has done against the Pandavas, including an elaborate description of what he did to Panjali. And to Draupadi, what he did, Bhimasena, it was burning in his heart. And he started kicking the head of Duryodhana. At that time, it was Dharmaputra Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj, who came and took Bhimasena away from there. And Yudhishthira Maharaj told Bhimasena that what you have done is extremely abominable. After all, Duryodhana was a king. Few days before, he lived in the palace, controlled the whole planet. And not only he controlled the planet, he had such facilities in the palace, he lived such an opulent way. And today, somehow or the other, due to the situation of the influence of time, he has fallen down in the battlefield. A Kshatriya should not have acted like this. So everyone present there actually criticized Bhimasena for his act. It was only Krishna who came forward and congratulated Bhima for what he has done first, for beating Duryodhana to death. But on the other hand, Krishna also said to Bhima, that was a little bit high-handed thing to do, to jump onto the top of the head of Duryodhana and to insult him like that. But Bhima was actually revengeful. Bhima's revenge was so strong at that time. Dhritarashtra Maharaj was always frightened of Bhima, that one day this Bhima will kill my children. This was known to Dhritarashtra, and that is why Dhritarashtra was always careful about Bhima. But anyway, Bhima has done this. And at that point, the Duryodhana was lying there, expecting death to happen. And Pandavas and Krishna decided to walk away from there, and they go back to the barracks. When Krishna decided to go back, Krishna, along with the Pandavas, Bhimasena and Arjuna, Nakula and Sahadev, and Yudhishthira Maharaj, they went back to the barracks. When they went there, what they saw in the barracks was all the children of Draupadi, they were sleeping there. And also Drishtadyumna and Shikhandi. And Krishna decided at that point that we will not stay tonight here. Anyhow, the war is over now, that at least things have become peaceful. Krishna's mind was very much in a way working totally different than anybody else. Krishna has come to establish religious principles and he wanted to get rid of Duryodhana from this world. That Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is unaffected by any of the activities of Maya, was totally transcendental in his words and instructions to the Pandavas. He told the Pandavas that now we will not stay here tonight, we will go to the another place where Panchali and others were living there. So that was on the side of a river called Okhavadi. That is how it's mentioned in the Mahabharata, Okhavadi river. When they went there, they reached the riverside and they drove in the chariot. Arjuna's chariot they used, they got in there. As soon as they got down there, they came out of the chariot went into the sky and got burned itself. Completely burned itself into ashes. And when this happened, it was a wonder to all the Pandavas who were present there. And they started asking Krishna, why did this happen? Krishna said, during the war, some of the powerful weapons they have fired has actually already burned this chariot. But because I was sitting in the chariot, it didn't get burned. And it was only because of that, this chariot didn't get out of control or it didn't get burned. Now that I have decided to come out of this chariot once for all, its purpose is over and it has gone and finished with it. Pandavas were surprised by Krishna's statement and they went back to see Draupadi and others. When they went back inside, Pandavas were in a very happy mood because the war is now over. Duryodhana has completely surrendered and he is waiting for his death to happen and he is ready to leave. So when they went back, Panchali noticed that none of her children have come back. They were missing. As a Kshatriya woman, it was not proper for her to ask what has happened to the children. Because they have gone to the battlefield, if they have not come back, it is to be understood by her that what has actually happened to them. So with full courage, Panchali, although very well distressed inside, thinking that something has happened to the children, she looked very distressed. And all the Krishna and the Pandavas, they walked in. Yudhishthira saw Panchali's state of distress and asked Panchali, what's the cause of her distress? Panchali at that point inquired about the children. But Arjuna and Yudhishthira mentioned to her that the children are safe in the barracks where they were sleeping. And they did not bring them back because when they left it was late, one thing. And secondly, they were sleeping, so they didn't want to disturb them. So we have decided to leave them there. This is what the answer they gave to Panchali. Panchali was satisfied with that. And the next day morning, she was going to have all the children back there. So this was the scene at that time. Krishna and the Pandavas stayed there. Yudhishthira Maharaj was extremely happy on that night for one reason, that at least today Yudhishthira thought Krishna will go and take some rest. Last 18 days during the war, Krishna has not slept either during the day or during the night. In the night time, when the Pandavas were resting, Krishna used to sit outside with the sword in his hand, just like a sentry, and he used to look after the Pandavas. He has not slept during the day and during the night and in the day he used to drive the chariot. So this was Krishna. So at least tonight, Yudhishthira Maharaj thought Krishna was going to take some rest, and that is what was giving him some happiness. Vilumangalam says something different than that. Vilumangalam says that in the night, Krishna not only looked after the Pandavas, he used to take all the horses to the river, bathe them nicely, and also feed them and look after them. Krishna was so fond of the horses at that time. In the war, he knew their utility and he used to protect them and look after them and feed them so that the horses will listen to him during the fighting. So Krishna was such a so friendly to the Pandavas that he was looking after Pandavas' interests all the time. So at this scene, what was happening to Duryodhana? Duryodhana was more in a state of agony. He was lying there, completely broken with the ties. And not only that, the pain and the blood that has come out from his body has made him so weak, he was not even able to get up from there. So he was not able to get up from there. He's actually, what the situation was, that on the one side, the wolves and the foxes were coming to eat him. Because after all, in the battlefield, you can imagine there were so many dead bodies, and these animals, it's a feast for them. So they were seeing this Duryodhana lying down, seeing that the wolves and the foxes were coming to eat him, but Duryodhana could not even get rid of them with his hands because of the pain and the agony he was experiencing after the fight. So it was to this situation that the three personalities who were left behind, what walked in, and who came in at that time? Ashwatthama, Kripacharya and Kratavarma. These were the three people who came there. Ashwatthama was the son of Dronacharya, and Kripacharya was his uncle, and Kratavarma was a soldier. So when they walked in, they saw Duryodhana's situation, and they couldn't believe it, what has happened to Duryodhana in this age. So when anyway this happened, Ashwatthama was very much affected by that. Reason being, Ashwatthama was a good friend of Duryodhana. Not only a friend, he also felt obliged, because when Drona wanted shelter, his father and Ashwatthama wanted shelter, it is Duryodhana who gave them the shelter and encouraged them. So before this happened, when the Pandavas left the scene of the fight, there was a conversation between Duryodhana and Krishna. Duryodhana started saying, to abusing Krishna without any consideration. Even he addressed Krishna that, "You are the son of a servant of Kamsa, and what more can I expect from you? Standing behind all these Pandavas, you are the cause of all this. That is the only reason why the Pandavas are won." At least Duryodhana has acknowledged that Krishna was behind all these things at that point. So Duryodhana said to Krishna, and he started saying that Krishna was responsible for all the cheating in the war. He talked about killing of Bhishma, talked about killing of Drona, talked about killing of Karna, Jayadratha and so many others, and Satyaki who killed Bhurishavas, and so many other great soldiers who were killed in a cheating process by Krishna's arrangement. So when this happened, Krishna answered back to Duryodhana that we do not deserve any better treatment. After all, that was the type of activities you were engaged in. And ultimately, Krishna also said to Duryodhana, all the different things what he has done to the Pandavas, and eventually Krishna mentioned to Duryodhana that, "I came to talk to you to bring peace between you and the Pandavas." And how did you react at that point? Krishna asked Duryodhana, "Even you had no sense to understand that war was imminent and I was behind the Pandavas, and you knew that, but still your sense did not allow you to think what the outcome will be." So anyway, they talked to each other and they left the place. But now Ashwatthama, Kratavarma and Kripi came there, and Ashwatthama saw the condition of Duryodhana and he became very emotional. He could not bear it, seeing Duryodhana in that condition. Only a few days ago he was like a king sitting in the palace, everyone was fanning him, and he was given such an opulent and lavish life he had. Today he is lying in the battlefield, eaten by the foxes and the wolves. So when he saw that, Ashwatthama could not check his emotions, and he told Duryodhana that he is going to take revenge now. And that revenge, what he wanted to take, before he took the revenge, he told Duryodhana that he would like to be made the commander of the army. What was the army? There was no army left behind. But still, Duryodhana asked for some rice and sprinkled the rice on Ashwatthama and made Ashwatthama as the next commander to fight the war. The war is not over as far as Ashwatthama is concerned. So Ashwatthama, Kripacharya and Kratavarma left the scene. They told Duryodhana that they are going to use the same system what Krishna has used by killing the Pandavas when they are sleeping. So it was this thing that was going through his mind. Duryodhana thought at that point that it is not proper to do that, but he couldn't say anything. He was leaving the body anyway, so he left them to themselves. And it was late in the evening when Ashwatthama, Kratavarma and Kripacharya left Duryodhana, and they were walking back to the barracks where the Pandavas were supposed to be sleeping. So Ashwatthama's mind was working very, very in a way that he wanted to take revenge. And while walking back late in the evening, they were so tired, they were resting under a tree. When they were resting under the tree, Ashwatthama started explaining his plan to go and kill all the Pandavas who were sleeping in the barracks, and who were sleeping without weapons, and who will be very, very tired and who will be resting. This is the right opportunity to go and take revenge straight away. This idea came to Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama mentioned this to Kripacharya and Kratavarma. The uncle Kripacharya told Ashwatthama that it is not proper to do that. As Kshatriyas, we don't do such things. But on the other hand, Kripacharya could see that something was provoking from inside in Ashwatthama to do this dirty thing, what he was planning to do. And they stand underneath a tree, but because of the fatigue, both Kripacharya and Kratavarma went to sleep. And Ashwatthama could not sleep because this was burning in his heart so strongly that he wanted to take revenge. So Ashwatthama was sitting there and he was thinking about it. And by some nature's arrangement, he observed something in the tree, what was happening. There was a bunch of crows who were sitting there, and there was an owl which was going and hitting these with its beak. It was hitting these crows very strongly. So during the day, the crow could see, and during the night, the owl can see. So these two birds were fighting each other. During the day, the crows will win, and during the night, the owl will win. The owl could see the crows sitting there, and they were actually in trouble. The crows could not fight, and the owl was taking a sweet revenge the whole night, banging every single one of them on their head. And crows were in suffering at that time. So when Ashwatthama saw that, Ashwatthama thought himself, is that not the same lesson I should execute in my activity as well? Because immediately it struck his mind that it is nature's arrangement that if you have to take revenge, you should use the weakest time and hit back at the right time. And this came to Ashwatthama's mind. Ashwatthama's got the plan worked out very nicely in his mind. He decided, right now we will go back to the barracks and kill every single one of them there, inside. Ashwatthama's plan was immediately he wanted to execute that. Kripacharya started talking to Kripacharya was woken up from his sleep. And he wanted Kripacharya and Kripa to follow him into the barracks. But Kripacharya started again talking to him that there are two things Kripacharya told Ashwatthama. That one is ability in man and the other one is the Krishna's approval or the Supreme Lord's approval. When you have these two things, your effort will succeed. You cannot succeed with only one thing. Just like he gave the example that if you throw the seeds into the field, it will grow provided there is rain. Now, throwing the seeds into the field is the duty of the farmer. But providing the grain is by the arrangement of the nature, by Krishna's arrangement. So when these two things together combine, actually there is a possibility of a good crop. Otherwise it may not happen. All this logic and reasoning Kripacharya was putting forward to Ashwatthama. But Ashwatthama was not in a mood to listen. Ashwatthama wanted to execute his plan straight away. He had his own ideas. He said to Kripacharya, that all this is what you have told me is fine, but right at this moment we have to act. We cannot keep delaying this, and this is the right time to do it. He dragged Kripacharya and Kripavarma along with him, and they went back into the barracks. When they went into the barracks, Ashwatthama was thinking, he did not want Kripacharya and Kripavarma to go inside, rather to stay outside and watch the situation. If any soldiers were coming out, he should catch them. That was the instruction. Ashwatthama told Kripavarma and Kripacharya that I will execute everything inside. As it was arranged by Krishna, the Pandavas and Krishna were away, and that was unknown to Ashwatthama. But when he got inside the barracks, he could see that all the Panjali's children were sleeping, Drishtadyumna was sleeping, Shikhandi was sleeping, and so many other soldiers were, few soldiers were left behind in the war. So, when Ashwatthama entered into the barracks, he could see there, he couldn't do anything, because as soon as he walked in, he saw a personality standing there, who was much bigger and taller and powerful, and who looked at Ashwatthama in a very, very frightening mood. Ashwatthama saw this personality, and he was confused. He could not understand who he is and what he is trying to do. So, because he was Dronacharya's son, and Dronacharya has taught Ashwatthama so many powerful weapons, he started shooting one after the other, all these powerful weapons to this particular personality who was standing there. But as and when he shot these arrows, this personality was taking them inside and he was getting more and more powerful. Ashwatthama got so confused, he realized that nothing is going to happen. He will not be able to do anything inside. So it was at that point Ashwatthama decided to glorify Lord Shiva. Because he had no other option left behind. All his weapons were over and he couldn't do anything about it. So Ashwatthama at that point sat down and fully focusing his mind on Lord Shiva, started glorifying him. Shiva was glorified to such an extent, immediately arrived on the scene, that because of the intense devotion Ashwatthama had for Lord Shiva, immediately on the spot arrived a sacrificial arena made of gold, and some of Lord Shiva's associates arrived there. And when these associates and this golden sacrificial arena arrived there, Ashwatthama looked at them, and all the associates of Lord Shiva started saying to Ashwatthama that Lord Shiva wants you to make yourself a sacrifice in this fire, and Lord Shiva will take care of your interest, whatever you want to do. So Ashwatthama, chanting the mantras, got into the fire and started burning himself. When he started burning himself, immediately Lord Shiva arrived on the scene and told Ashwatthama that you can do what you want to do. Here is the sword for doing that, and handed over a sword to Ashwatthama. And with that sword, as soon as he took the sword from Lord Shiva and got out of the fire, immediately Ashwatthama could see that the personality who was standing there has disappeared. So without any recrimination, without any consideration, Ashwatthama went inside and butchered and slaughtered everyone who was present in the barracks, and he was extremely pleased with his success. And he came out and he told Kripacharya and Kṛtavarma about what he has done inside. And upon the way, that is how in the Bhagavatam it said that even a slight, he did not want that Pandava should survive in this world, all of them should be killed. This was his plan. But in the crowd, in the killing process, he could not recognize who all he has killed. But he knew that Pandavas were not there. That was the intention, was to kill the Pandavas. But the result was that he has killed Drishtadyumna. Drishtadyumna was pulled out of his bed and he started kicking him and he started beating him. But Drishtadyumna prayed to Ashwatthama, at least kill me with the sword as a Kshatriya so that I may go back to the heavenly planets. Ashwatthama said, you don't even deserve that, because the way you have killed my father was such a cheating process. You don't have to go to the heavenly planets, you go to the down hellish planets. But the fact is that most of the people were conscious that there was a life after death, and there is some other results of our own actions in this world will come back to us at some time or the other. This realization was very, very strong in that culture. Anyway, Drishtadyumna could not bear it. Eventually Drishtadyumna was killed, and similarly all the Panjali's children were also killed. When all this destruction was over, Ashwatthama came out with Kṛtavarma and Kṛpācārya and walked straight back into Duryodhana's place. And they wanted to convey this good news to Duryodhana, what he has done. When they told the incident, what has happened, and how they killed all the children of Panjali, thinking that Duryodhana will be pleased with the result, actually Duryodhana did not appreciate that very much. Because Duryodhana said to Ashwatthama that that was a little over the board. It was a little bit too much what they have done. That they told Ashwatthama that Duryodhana said, but still he was happy that there was some damages been done and with the result was that Ashwatthama at least felt that at least before Duryodhana leave this body, he has some good news to deliver. So anyway, this has happened, but Ashwatthama was not peaceful. Ashwatthama's mind was working at that time that something is going to happen, because this is not going to end there. The story is not going to come to an end. When all these things were happening, Dhritarashtra was talking to Sanjaya, like we see in the Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya Vaja. Sanjaya was reporting about the war to Duryodhana. And Vedavyasa Maharshi has given the special eyes to Sanjaya to see what was going on, and he reported this matter to Dhritarashtra, what has happened. Immediately, Dhritarashtra's question to Sanjaya was, why did not Ashwatthama think about this a little earlier? Why did he delay it so late? This is how Dhritarashtra's mind has worked. But anyway, Sanjaya told Dhritarashtra that ultimately everything is controlled by Krishna. Krishna is behind everything. What has to happen today, what has to happen tomorrow, and what has happened in the past, everything is controlled by time. And time is ajayam. Ajayam means it cannot be brought under control. And this time is Krishna's control. The wheel in Krishna's hand is actually the time factor that is rotating continuously. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in complete control of everything material and spiritual. But anyway, Dhritarashtra was not able to understand, but still he left a little pleasure in his mind. But when all these things were happened, the next day morning, the news arrived at the Pandava's place. Panjali could not bear the distress what the news was brought to them. That when the news arrived there, Panjali came to know that all the children were killed. And immediately Bhimasena got up from there and he wanted to get Ashwatthama straight away and take the revenge on him. Bhimasena took a pledge that I'm going to kill him and I will bring his head here and offer it to you. Arjuna said to Krishna that Yudhishthira Maharaj allowed Bhimasena to go. But when Bhimasena left, immediately after that, Krishna said to Yudhishthira Maharaj that what Bhimasena has done is not very good, because Ashwatthama is much more powerful than Bhimasena. Ashwatthama knew many, many weapons which none of you have known either, except Arjuna. So if Bhima falls into the hands of Ashwatthama, Bhima's life could be over. So because of that point, at that point, because this was Krishna has spoken, Dhritarashtra sensed the danger and he asked Arjuna that he should go after Bhima to find out where he has gone. So Arjuna asked Krishna whether he could drive the chariot for him. Krishna said to Arjuna, after all, I have been driving it for the last 18 days. I don't have any problem in driving one more day. So Ashwatthama on the 19th day, Krishna decided to drive the chariot for Arjuna. And they drove the chariot and together and looking for Bhima and also where Bhima has arrived in front of Ashwatthama. But when this happened, just before this thing happened, before Bhima went away, Krishna's mind was thinking that how this news will be received by Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj was always frightened of Gandhari. For one reason, Gandhari was a lady who was very, very powerful. In the Bhagavadam, it is mentioned about Gandhari. Gandharim cha tapasvinim. Tapasvini, she is tapasvini. Because of her penance and austerities, Gandhari has acquired so much strength that Yudhishthira was aware of that. And if Gandhari decides something, she can burn the whole Pandavas in the fire and destroy them. So powerful she was because of her chastity and because of her austerities. Such was the strength of the women at that time. Anyway, Dhritarashtra heard Yudhishthira started mentioning this to Krishna. Krishna also realized that it is necessary to go and see Dhritarashtra and inform about the result of the war. So first, before going after to Ashwatthama, they went to see Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. So when Krishna went there, Vedavyasa Maharshi was there, Dhritarashtra was there and Gandhari was there. Three of them were sitting in the house. To them, Krishna drove the chariot and went there to talk to them about it with Yudhishthira Maharaj. So when they went there, Dhritarashtra, who is blind, could understand that Krishna has come. But the results of the war, Krishna announced to Dhritarashtra in this way, in a very, very nice way. So told Dhritarashtra that from the very beginning I have mentioned to you, eventually Duryodhana will have to pay for it because he has acted on a religious level. And not only that, the Pandavas were entitled for the kingdom and which Duryodhana has refused. So you can only take it that Duryodhana had paid the price for it. And time is not under our control. Time will take its own course. After saying this, Krishna turned to Gandhari and told Gandhari that, my dear mother, Krishna addressed Gandhari as mother and said to Gandhari that when I came to talk to Duryodhana earlier, I have asked you to influence Duryodhana, but you mentioned to me at that time that religious principle, whoever is on the right side will eventually win the war. And as you said, it has the same thing has happened. Now dharma has won, religious principles have won. This is what Krishna has said to Gandhari. Gandhari also appreciated Krishna's words. Without thinking too much about it, Gandhari said that dharma should always win. This was Gandhari's words. So Krishna was satisfied that both Dhritarashtra and Gandhari has been given a indication of the result of the war. And also, he has virtually taken an agreement from Gandhari that whoever is on the right side should win the war. That was Krishna's negotiations at that time. Krishna came back, went with Arjuna looking for Bhimasena and Ashwatthama. By the time, Bhimasena has managed to find where Ashwatthama was. And when Ashwatthama saw that Bhimasena was coming, and within a short time he also saw Krishna and Arjuna there, Ashwatthama realized that there is going to be a big fight. He knew that they have come to kill him. And when he realized that, Ashwatthama knew that there was no way he could fight Bhimasena and Arjuna apart from Krishna. So eventually, as the last resort, he fired Brahmastra towards them. So when the Brahmastra was fired, actually there is no way you could fight Brahmastram, because Brahmastram is such a powerful weapon. Drona has only taught Brahmastra to Arjuna, nobody else. Ashwatthama, being the son, he has taught him how to use Brahmastra. But at the same time, if Brahmastra is fired, how to counteract that weapon, that was not taught to Ashwatthama. So Ashwatthama had no clue how to pull the Brahmastra back. On the other hand, his interest was to kill Arjuna, Krishna and Bhima with Brahmastra. But Krishna, sensing the danger, told Arjuna that, you know, Brahmastra has been taught to you by Dronacharya. You know how to pull it back. Send another Brahmastra and together take it away from them, from the danger. Otherwise, Brahmastra was capable enough to destroy the whole planet. It was such a powerful weapon. So when they heard that, Arjuna did according to Krishna's instruction. And as soon as this was over, Ashwatthama realized that better for him to surrender now. He had no option left behind. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while referring to this incident, Vedavyasa Maharshi says what exactly happened at that point was that Arjuna was told, Krishna said to Arjuna, kill Ashwatthama right away, because what you have promised to Panjali was that you will bring his head back, and sitting on the top of his head, you will perform the Udagakriya or Shraddha ceremony for the children who were killed by Ashwatthama. This is the word he has given to Panjali. So Krishna said to Arjuna to kill Ashwatthama straight away. Arjuna was a little bit confused. And in the Bhagavatam, there is a words of Krishna in relationship to that. And this words, what Krishna has used, along with Krishna's considerations, on the one hand, Krishna was saying to Arjuna to kill Ashwatthama. But when Arjuna was hearing that, Arjuna was thinking, oh, I should not kill Ashwatthama. This is the beauty of that verse. It is such a nice verse in the Bhagavatam. When you hear that, you will see that one side Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Ashwatthama must be killed, because Ashwatthama, the activity is what he has done, that Ashwatthama deserved to be killed. But when Arjuna is hearing that, Arjuna is thinking, oh, Ashwatthama should not be killed. So this is how it is mentioned. Mattam pramattam unmattam suptam balam sthriyam jadam prabannam viragam vidam maharim nahandim ripudharmavil handina dharmavil. That mattam pramattam unmattam suptam balam sthriyam jadam. In other words, when one is gone mad, one has gone crazy, or when whose mind is not under control, he has completely lost his mind, mattam pram, or one who is intoxicated, balam sthriyam jadam, a child or women or one who is almost dead, in such a person, will anybody kill such a person? Is a kshatriya's duty? Is it proper for a kshatriya to attack such a person? That's what Krishna said to Arjuna. Mattam pramattam unmattam suptam balam sthriyam jadam. But next line, prabannam viradham vidam ivam handina dharmavil. That all these things what was mentioned in the first line were also applicable to Ashwatthama. What Ashwatthama has done to the children were belonging to that line. Mattam pramattam unmattam suptam balam sthriyam jadam. That this is all what Ashwatthama has done. But in the next line, Krishna says to Arjuna, prabannam viradham vidam rivam handina dharmavil. That what he is now, Ashwatthama has come to surrender. He is surrendering now. Not only that, viradham, he has no chariot. Ribam handina dharmavil. That in this condition, will anybody kill Ashwatthama? This is what Arjuna was thinking. So Arjuna, the reaction, the what Krishna has spoken was such, Ashwatthama is saying to Arjuna, kill him now. But Arjuna was understanding that, oh, should I kill him now? I shouldn't kill him now. And this is what he said, taught himself. So at that point, Krishna was remembered, Arjuna was remembered, Aharishe shirastasye yasye yamini putraha. That I have promised, that is, your promise was to Draupadi that you will only bring Ashwatthama's head. You have not promised Draupadi you will bring the whole Ashwatthama there. You only promised him to bring his head there. So why do you have to, now, why do you refrain from killing him? When Krishna was saying this to Arjuna was thinking, is it proper for me to kill Ashwatthama? Rather, I will take the whole Ashwatthama there. And he tied Ashwatthama's hands and took him like an animal towards Draupadi. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it mentions there that when Arjuna brought Ashwatthama and back to Draupadi, all the people were there together, and in the assembly of the small family of the Pandavas, Krishna was waiting to hear what is the decision, what does Draupadi wants to do now with Ashwatthama. Because Bhimasena and Arjuna has promised Draupadi that Ashwatthama will be brought there. So after this was spoken, they looked at Ashwatthama. Tadahridam Vashuvalpa Shabaddam. Tadahridam Pashuvalpa Shabaddam. that Ashwatthama was tied, that Ashwatthama's hands were tied just like an animal. That is how it's mentioned. Pashuval Pashabadham. His hands were tied so powerfully by the rope, and he was brought in there. That Avang Mukham Karma Jugupsidena. That Ashwatthama was feeling so much depressed. Why? Avang Mukham. His face was down. He could not even lift his face. Why? Why was that? Ashwatthama was feeling so much. Was he feeling that, oh, he lost the war? Is that what was disturbing Ashwatthama? No, that was not disturbing Ashwatthama. Was it that because he was tied by his hands by the rope? No, that was not also the cause of the distress. Vedavyasa Maharshi says there, Avang Mukham Karma Jugupsidena. Karma Jugupsidena. I have done a very, very low class thing. This is what Ashwatthama was feeling at that time. That to go to the barracks and to kill those innocent children who were sleeping at night was not something very heroic. And this has actually made Ashwatthama to realize what a low class thing he has performed. Just see how people respected dharma on those days. This is what that is indicating. That they had such a high degree of respect for dharma. Tadahadam mashuval pashabadham. Avamukham karma jugupsidena. Jugupsidena. It is so disgusting that what I have done. And because of that thought, that such a disgusting thing I have done, Ashwatthama kept his head down. Avamukham karma jugupsidena. This is how Ashwatthama was brought back into the friend of Draupadi. When Ashwatthama came there, Draupadi saw Ashwatthama. And Draupadi told immediately, Draupadi could not resist. Seeing what, although Ashwatthama has done such a thing, when she realized that Ashwatthama is after all the son of Dronacharya, and Dronacharya is a Brahmana, although he was acting as a Kshatriya, he was a Brahmana, and immediately Draupadi could not, the good heart of Draupadi came out and said to Bhimasena and Arjuna, Mucharam, Mucharam, release him, release him. It says in the Bhagavatam that Arjuna and Draupadi requested to Arjuna and Bhimasena to release Ashwatthama from tying his hands like that and insulting him in that way. When Draupadi spoke like this, Krishna was listening to that. And Krishna has one nature that no matter what happens, only a few minutes, few hours ago, Krishna said to Arjuna to kill Ashwatthama. But when Draupadi said this, Krishna realized that Draupadi's words are true actually, that Ashwatthama should not be killed. And Krishna congratulated Draupadi for her words. Why? Draupadi spoke a few things there. In the Bhagavatam you can read that. Draupadi's words were like this. Draupadi said to Krishna and to Arjuna and Bhimasena that what you can see now is that although Ashwatthama has performed this worst action, what he has done towards the children of the Draupadi, children of Draupadi, still, after all, he is a Brahmana. A Brahmana is not to be killed. And even if he commits some sinful thing, even if he is responsible for some heinous activity, still a Brahmana should not be killed. Apart from that, if Ashwatthama is killed, who is there for Kripi? Dronacharya's wife Kripi, she was dependent on Ashwatthama for protection. And if Ashwatthama is killed, what will happen to Kripi? Kripi will become, she has no protection. And not only that, I know what is the distress a mother will experience when the children are killed in a war. And saying this, Draupadi was justifying that under no circumstances. Only a few hours ago Draupadi said that I want to see the head of that person who was killed. But as soon as she realized that it was Ashwatthama, Draupadi's heart became soft and she said that Ashwatthama should not be punished, she should not be left free to go. But when he said that, everybody appreciated there in the assembly, who were only few people there who were left behind, they all appreciated Draupadi's words. Krishna also appreciated Draupadi's words. But before Krishna and Arjuna could speak anything, Bhimasena got up from his seat. He came up, took his club in the hand, straight away walked in, and everybody feared that something dreadful is going to happen. Bhimasena was not interested in listening to any dharma or religiosity or reasoning or logic. He wanted to smash straight away Ashwatthama's head on the very moment. That was Bhima. So when Bhima got up at that point, that Bhima, before he went to Ashwatthama, he looked at Krishna. But when he looked at Krishna, what he saw there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasa Maharshi says there, Draupadryascha Chaturbhujaha, that instead of seeing Krishna with two hands, what he saw there was the four-handed form of Krishna was standing there with club, lotus, conch shell and disc in the hand, the form of Narayana manifested there and presence of Krishna. And when Bhima saw that, Bhima could immediately feel that these four hands are there. Why? Because Bhima knew, nobody else knew the weight of Krishna's hand. It is only Bhima who knew the weight of Krishna's hand. During the Mahabharata war, when the Kauravas fired an arrow to the Pandavas, the arrow was coming and Arjuna and others, everyone was facing that. And Krishna, realizing what a powerful weapon that was coming, told all the Pandavas to bow down in front of the arrow. Everybody did that except Bhimasena. Bhimasena said, a Kshatriya will never bow his head in front of anybody. This was Bhima's answer to Krishna. Krishna said to Bhima, I told you to bring your head down. Bhima won't listen. Krishna put his hand on the right shoulder of Bhima and pushed it down. Actually, normally what if it had gone 10 inches with Krishna's hand, it has gone another 2 feet down with Bhima's head. But Bhima realized at that time, this is the same hand which lifted the Govardhan hill. So Krishna, very much aware of the weight of that hand, now Krishna could see, Bhima could see that the four hands are there. So the best thing would be to listen to what Krishna says. Otherwise Bhima wouldn't have listened to anybody. Bhima knew the weight of Krishna's hand and straight away he stopped from moving further to taking the club and to kill Ashwatthama. So when he said that, Draupadi said that we should be released. After all, he has done something very seriously wrong. But here we have Bhimasena wanted to. Bhimasena's logic is also there. What Bhimasena said is also true, because if you listen to Bhimasena's words, Bhimasena said like this. Bhimasena said to Krishna and Arjuna that this Ashwatthama, what he has done, he is the son of our teacher, Dronacharya. And I do not like to see Ashwatthama going to the hellish planet, the lower planetary systems, where he has to face much more severe punishment than what I am going to give him here. If by my punishment he can escape from the severe punishment what he is going to experience in the lower planetary systems, in the hellish planets, it is better, representing the Raja Dharma or the religious principles, I have to kill him. And Krishna appreciated those words. Actually, it is true that the people in those days, they had fear that after death, that the living entity has to go to other planets and experience the happiness and distress of our own activities in previous life. This is something, the eternity of the soul, from moving from one planet to another, to lower planets, to higher planets, according to one's own karma. And they had such staunch faith in the scriptures, and also they had the proper understanding that the living entity never die. Whereas in the modern concept, everything is over with death. After that, what happens? God knows what happens. Where is the God? This is our conception today. But that was not the conception of the civilization of that day. They have believed strongly that there were the higher planetary systems, the celestial planets, the lower planetary system, where one is supposed to undergo through all the reactions of their sinful activities in this world. Punishment is there, Yamaraja is there, and his associates are there. So in all these things, they had strong faith, they had no difficulty. And Bhimasena explained this to Krishna and to Arjuna, that only to protect Ashwatthama, I am going to punish him. But at that point, Krishna was different. Krishna wanted that Ashwatthama should be punished. Bhima's words are true, Draupadi's words are also true. So Krishna had to make a decision. What should happen? So that is why, Brahma Bandur Nahandavyam Atadai Vatarhana. That Brahma Bandhu, Ashwatthama is a Brahma Bandhu. But he has done something wrong and he should be punished. He deserves punishment. But because he is a Brahmana, he should not be killed. This was this. So Krishna knew that the only person who can understand what his plans are is Arjuna. So Krishna turned to Arjuna and told Arjuna that, Arjuna, now that we have decided that Ashwatthama has to be properly punished, so do whatever is necessary. Arjuna pulled out his sword, came to Ashwatthama, held his hair on the top and took away straight away moved his sword towards his neck. Everybody would have thought that Ashwatthama was dead, he's finished with that. But that was not, it was going to happen. Fortunately, the sword went a little bit higher and took away the whole hair away from there. And there was a jewel in Ashwatthama's hair, which was a very popular, powerful jewel, which Ashwatthama, from his hair, it was taken by Arjuna and handed over to Draupadi. It is said in the Bhagavatam that killing doesn't necessarily mean killing a person physically. Physical killing is not actually the real killing. Real killing is that if you insult somebody in the assembly of people, Bhavanam Dravinadhanam Sthanam Niryapanam Tada, then all these things, shaving up a person in the assembly and make him, humiliate him, insult him in the assembly, this is also considered to be an insult, a murder, a killing him, as equal as punishment, as or a kshatriya, as much as a punishment it is in the eyes of the world. So anyway, Ashwatthama was released at that time. Arjuna told Ashwatthama, we do not want to see him here anymore, get away from here and get lost. That's what the words he has used at the end to Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama walked away from there, and Krishna and the Pandavas stayed back. But then what happens? Ashwatthama went back. Ashwatthama's revenge was not over. But this result, it has become more powerful. Ashwatthama decided that the Brahmastram, what he has earlier sent to the Pandavas, now he has directed towards Uttara. But when this was happened, by now, that Krishna has finished all these things. Krishna has finished with the Pandavas. Most of the war was over. Dharmaputra Yudhishthira Maharaj has become the king, and Ajata Shatru, he is known as, he has no enemies. So Yudhishthira has become the king. Krishna was pleased with the throne of the ceremony of the Yudhishthira. And now Krishna felt that it is time for me now to go back to Dwaraka. So Krishna was thinking that, and before he was preparing to move, he said goodbye to everybody, to Kunti Devi, to all the Panjali, Uttara and others, and to all the Pandavas, and he was about to go and to board into the chariot. Suddenly, as soon as he stepped into the chariot, immediately heard a sound from behind. Pahi pahi mahayogin deva deva jagalpade nanyam tvadhavayam pashe yatra murtyo parasparam. When Krishna turned back, he could see that there was a young woman running around, coming towards him. And it was actually Pahi Pahi Mahayogin. It was actually Abhimanyu's wife, who was very, very young. Abhimanyu was killed in the battle. And Abhimanyu's young wife, Uttara, was coming towards Krishna. At that time, Krishna could not wait anymore. Krishna decided, Uttara Devi said to Krishna, that even if I die, it doesn't matter, but at least the child should be protected. And this actually hit Krishna very strongly. Why? Because when Abhimanyu was killed, Uttara Devi wanted to give up her body as well in the funeral pyre along with Abhimanyu. That was Uttara's desire. At that time, Uttara Devi was pregnant with Parikshit Maharaj, and Krishna said to Uttara Devi, that if you give up your body, Parikshit Maharaj will also have to go. In other words, through Parikshit Maharaj, Krishna had this great plan to bring Srimad Bhagavatam to this world. This is Krishna's plan. But not only that, if Uttara Devi dies along with Abhimanyu, the Pandava's race will come to an end, which Krishna didn't want that to happen, because Parikshit Maharaj and the rest of the dynasty has to survive. So Krishna requested Uttara Devi, for my sake, you should not commit this sacrifice. Rather, you should stay back in this world. So it's only on Krishna's request that Uttara Devi decided to stay back in this world, although Abhimanyu left the body long ago. And Uttara Devi has stayed back, and it is now that Uttara Devi has come to Krishna and asked for the shelter of the baby inside. And Uttara Devi's words were, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagalpade Nanyam Tvadhavayam Pashe Yatra Murtyu Parasparam. That when he said that, Krishna, it really hit Krishna very strongly. Mame garbho nipatyadam. That my this seed inside, my baby inside, is actually dead. That when Uttara Devi reported this, Krishna decided to enter into Uttara Devi's womb. And that is how it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Sudarshanena shastrayena swanam rachadvidad vibhum. In the Bhagavatam it says, how did Krishna protect Parikshit Maharaj in Uttara's womb? Krishna did not use any weapon, nothing. Sudarshanena shastrena swanam rakshadyudad vibhum. Sudarshanam, this is Krishna's weapon. Krishna has to just use his eyes, that's enough, darshanam. It is not a sudarshanam, it is Krishna used to go in. Krishna, really simply by looking at Uttara, Krishna was inside Uttara's womb. Parikshit Maharaj was seeing a personality walking around him all the time, protecting him from Brahmastra. And this is what he is saying, that Agnaya Chaitanyam, the powerful potency of fire that was coming in, was absorbed by Krishna. So, Sudarshanena Shastrena Swanam Rakshadvidad Vibhum, that Krishna has protected Parikshit in the womb of Uttara in this way. Uttara Devi, after some time, felt relief. Krishna asked Uttara Devi, do you feel normal now? Is the baby moving inside? Uttara Devi said, yes, I feel that everything seems to be normal. The baby was moving inside the stomach. If that is the case, Krishna said to Uttara that you should now go and take rest, think about me and be peaceful in life, everything will come out okay. With Krishna's words, Uttara Devi went back into the palace. So when this was over, Krishna decided now to go back. Andastam sarvabhudanam swamayaya avranolgarbam vairatya kurudandave. Then Krishna was decided to go now that Uttara has been protected, all the business was over, and Krishna was going to go. At that time, it was then that Kunti Devi started coming there. Kunti Devi came up to the scene straight away and paid her obeisances to Krishna. And not only she paid her obeisances to Krishna, Kunti Devi glorified Krishna at that point, that is known in the Srimad Bhagavatam as the so famous as the Kunti's glorification of Krishna. So Kunti Devi's glorification, and along with that, some of the points what Kunti Devi has raised in her prayers to Krishna is some of the topmost philosophical points. What great commentators on Srimad Bhagavatam say is that Kunti Devi actually understood why Krishna has descended to this world. So we'll discuss that in the next week. I'll just read that particular chapter in the Bhagavatam which relates to this incident of Ashwatthama. Shri Shaunagavacham Nargade Narade Suda Bhagavan Padarayana Shudavam Stalavi Predam Tadakimagarod Vibhum Suda Vajam Brahmanadhyam Saraswatyam Ashrama Pashime Tade Shamya Prasamidi Prota Krishinam Satravardhana Tasmin Sumashrame Vyaso Badari Shandamandide Asinova Uvasprasya Pranidadhyo Manaswayam Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihido Mali Apashyal Purusham Purvam Mayam Chatadupashayam Yaya Samohido Jiva Almanam Trunatmagam Parobhimanude Nartam Talkrutam Chabivadyade Anartho Vashamam Sakshal Bhakti Yogamado Kshaje Logasya Janado Vidvam Chakre Satvada Samhidam Yasyam Vaishudamanayam Krishne Paramapurushe Bhakti Vulpadyade Pumsam Shogamogavahayabaham Sasamhidam Bhagavadin Krutva Nukram Najalpajam Shukamadhyabaya Masa Nivurti Niradamunim Shavnagavajam Savai Nivurti Nirada Sarvatra Ovechago Muni Kasyava Brahadi Meda Alma Rama Samabhyasal Sudavaja Alma Rama Shamanayo Nargrama Apiru Krame Kuruvandi Haidugim Bhaktim Ittam Budaguna Harim Hare Argunakshitta Madir Bhagavan Badarayani Adhyagan Mahadakhyanam Nityam Mishnujana Priyam Parikshidoda Raja Shair Janmagarma Vilabanam Samstam Jap Anduputranam Bhakshiye Krishna Kathodayam Yatha Amrde Kaurava Sanjayanam Vireshwado Viragadim Gadeshu Brigodara Vidhagada Vimasha Bhakmaurudande Dhritarashtra Putrem Bhaktu Priyam Dravniridisma Vashyan Krishna Sudhanam Subhadam Shiramsi Upaharad vipriyameva dasyada jugupsidam karma vigarhayandi Mata ashishunam nidhanam sudhanam nishamya ghoram paridapyamana Tadarudal vashpagala kulakshi tam sandvayan mahakiridamali Tadashujaste prabhujami badre yal brahma brando shiramadadayinam Gandiva mukter vishagairu bahare tvakramayal stasya siddhagdha putraha ഇതിൽ പ്രിയം വൽഗു വിചിത്ര ജൽപൈ സസാന്വയിതാച്യുതമിത്ര സൂത അന്വാദ്രവദ്ധം ശിതമുഗ്രതന്വ കവിധ്വജോ ഗുരുപുത്രം രഥേന തമാവനന്ദം സ വിലക്ഷദൂരാൽ കുമാരഹോ ദ്വിഗ്മനാരഥേന പരാദ്രവൽ പ്രാണപരിപ്സുതർവ്യം യാവൽഗമം രുദ്രവിലയാധ്യതർക്കാഹ യഥാശരണമാത്മാനം ഐഷത ശ്രാന്തവാചിനം അസ്ത്രം ബ്രഹ്മശിരോമേനി ആത്മത്രാണം ദ്വിജാത്മജാഹ അധോപസ്പൃശ്യ ശൈലം സന്ധതേ തത്സമാഹിത അജാനന്നുപസംഹാരം പ്രാണക്രയമുപാസ്ഥിതേം തദപ്രാവിഷ്കൃതം തേജ പ്രചണ്ഡം സർവതോ ദിശം പ്രാണാപാതമഭിപ്രേക്ഷ്യ വിഷ്ണു ജിഷ്ണുരുവാച അർജുനുവാച കൃഷ്ണകൃഷ്ണ മഹാഭാഗ ഭക്താനാമഭയങ്കര ത്വമേകോ ഹ്യമാനാം അവവർഗോസി സംസൃതേ ത്വമാദ്യ പുരുഷ സാക്ഷാൽ ഈശ്വര പ്രകൃതേ പരം മായാം വിദസ്യ ജിച്ഛക്തി കൈവല്യസ്ഥിതമാത്മനി സ ഏവ ജീവലോകസ്യ മായാമോഹിത ചേതസ വിദൽസേ സ്വേന വീര്യേണ ശ്രേയോ ധർമാദിലക്ഷണം തഥായം ചാവതാരസേ ഭൂഭാരതി ഹീർഷയ സ്വാനാം ചാനന്യഭാവാനാം അനുധ്യാനായ ചാസകൾ കിമിദം സുൽകുതോ ഭവതി ദേവദേവന വേദ്യഹം സർവതോ മുഖമായാദി തേജ പരമദാരുണം ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാച വേദേദം രമണപുത്രസ്യ ബ്രാഹ്മമസ്ത്രം പ്രദർശിനം നൈവാസോ വേദസംഹാരം പ്രാണഭാതമുപസ്ഥിതേ മഹ്യസ്യാന്യതമം കിഞ്ചിൽ അസ്ത്രം പ്രത്യവകർഷനം ജഹ്യസ്ത്രതേജമുന്നദ്ധം അസ്ത്രജ്ഞോ ഹ്യസ്ത്രതേജസ സൂതവാച ശ്രുത്വാ ഭഗവതാ പ്രോക്തം ഫാൽഗുനപരവീരഃ സ്പൃഷ്ട്വാപസ്തം പരിക്രമ്യ ബ്രാഹ്മം ബ്രാഹ്മായ സന്ധതേ സംഹത്യാന്യോന്യമുഭയോസ്തേജസീശര സംവദെ ആവൃത്തിരോദസീഖ്യം ച ഓധാതർക്കവന്യുവൽ ദൃഷ്ട്വാസ്ത്രതേജസ്തുതയോസ്ത്രീൻ ലോകാൻ പ്രദഹൻ മഹൽ ദഹ്യമാന പ്രജാ സർവം സാംവർത്തകമമം സദാ പ്രജോപപ്ലവമാലക്ഷ്യ ലോകം വ്യതികരഞ്ചതം മതം ച വാസുദേവസ്യ സഞ്ചഹാരാർജുനോദ്വയം തദമാസാദ്യതരസ ദാരുണം ഗൗതമീ സുതം വിബന്ധാമർഷതാമ്രാക്ഷം പശുൻ അശനയായഥാം ശിബിരായ നിനീഷന്തം ദാമ്നാ ബദ്ധ്വാരിപും ബലാൽ പ്രഹാർജുനം പ്രകുപിതോ ഭഗവാൻ അംബുജേക്ഷണാഹ മൈനം പാർത്ഥാർഹസി പ്രാദം ബ്രഹ്മബന്ധുമിമം ജഹി യോസാവാനാഗസസുപ്താൻ അവധീന്നീഷി ബാലകാൻ മത്തം പ്രമത്തമുന്മത്തം സുപ്തം ബാലം സ്ത്രീയം ജഡം പ്രപന്നം വിരഥം ബീദം നരിപും ഹന്തിധർമ്മവിൽ സ്വപ്രാണാന്യപരപ്രാണേ പ്രപുഷ്ണാത്യഗുണഖല തദ്വദസ്തസ്യ ഹി ശ്രേയോ യദ്ദോഷാത്യധിത പുമാൻ പ്രതിശ്രുതം ച ഭവത പാഞ്ചാല്യൈ ശൃണുതോ മമ അഹരിഷ്യേ ശിരസ്തസ്യ യസ്തേ മാനീപുത്രഃ താസോ തദസോ വധ്യതാം ഭാവ ആദദായാത്മബന്ധുഃ ഭർത്തുശ്ച വിപ്രിയം വീര കൃതവാൻ കുലവാംസനാം സൂത ഉവാച ഏവം പരീക്ഷതാ ധർമ്മം പാർത്ഥേ കൃഷ്ണേന ചോദിത നൈച്ഛദ്ധന്തം ഗുരുസുതം യദ്യപ്യാത്മഹനം മഹാൻ അധോവേത്യസ്തു ശിബിരം ഗോവിന്ദ പ്രിയസാരഥി നിവേദയത്തം പ്രിയവേ ശോചന്യാമാത്മജാൻഹതാൻ സദാഹൃതം പശുവൽപാശബദ്ധം അവാങ്മുഖം കർമ്മജുഗുപ്സിതേന നിരീക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണാവഹൃതം ഗുരുസുതം വാമസ്വഭാവാ കൃപയാമനാമാം ഉവാചാചാസഹന്ദ്യസ്യ ബന്ധനാനയനം സതി ഉച്യതാം ഉച്യതാം ഏഷ ബ്രാഹ്മണോ നിതരാം ഗുരൂം സരഹസ്യോധനുർവേദം സവിസർഗോപസംയമ അസ്ത്രഗ്രാമശ്ച ഭവത ശിക്ഷിതോ യദനുഗ്രഹാൽ സ ഏഷ ഭഗവാൻ ദ്രോണ പ്രജാരൂപേണ വർത്തതേ തസ്യാത്മനോർത്ഥം പത്ന്യാസ്നേ നാന്യുകാദ്വീരസുക്രമീം തദ്ധർമ്മജ്ഞ മഹാഭാഗ ഭവദ്ഭിർഗൗരവം കലം വൃചിനം അർഹതി പ്രാപ്തം പൂജ്യം മന്ദ്യമഭീഷ്ണശാം മാരോദീതസ്യ ജനനി ഗൗതമീപതിദേവത യദാഹം വ്രതവത്സാത്മാ രോമിഭ്യശ്വമുഖീമുഹോം ഏ കോപിതം ബ്രഹ്മകുലം രാജന്യേരകൃതാത്മവി തൽക്കുലം വ്രതഹത്യാശു സാനുബന്ധം ശുചാർപ്പിതം സൂത ഉവാചാം ധർമ്മം ന്യായം സകരുണം നിർവളീകം സമം മഹൽ രാജാധർമ്മസുതോ രാജ്ഞ പ്രത്യനന്ദദ്വജോദ്വിജാഹ നകുലസഹദേവശ്ച യുധാനോ ധനഞ്ജയ ഭഗവാൻ ദേവകീപുത്രോ ഏചാന്യേയാശ്ചയോഷിതാം തത്രാഹാവർഷിതോ ഭീമസ്തസ്യ ശ്രേയാന്മദസ്മൃത ന ഭർത്തുർനാത്മനശ്ച തേയോഹൻ സുപ്താൻ ശിശൂൻമൃതാം നിശമ്യ ഭീമഗതിതം ദ്രൗപദ്യാശ്ച ചതുർഭുജ ആലോക്യവദനം സഖ്യു ഇതമാഹഹ സന്നിവാം ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാച ബ്രഹ്മബന്ധുർനഹന്തവ്യം ആദതായീവതാർഹണ മയൈവോ ഭയമാത്മാനം പരിവഹ്യ അനുശാസനം കുരു പ്രതിശുതം സത്യം यत्र सान्वयदा प्रियं प्रियं च भीमसेनस्य पाञ्चाल्यो मह्यमेव च सुतवाच अर्जुनस्य सहसा ज्ञाय हरे हार्दमदासिन मणिं जहार मूर्धन्यं विजस्य सह मूर्धजम् मुमुच्चरसनाभद्रं बालहत्या हतप्रभं तेजसा मणिनाशिनं शिबिरान् निरयापयल् भवनं द्रविणाधानं स्थानाल् निर्यापणं तदा एष हि ब्रह्मबन्धूना मधो नान्योऽस्ति दैहिकम् पुत्रशोकादुरा सर्वे पाण्डवा सह कृष्णय स्वानां मृदानां यल्कृत्यं चक्रुरं हरणादिकम् इति श्रीमद्भागवते महापुराणे प्रथमस्कन्धे सप्तमोऽध्यायम् सो विद् दिस् सेवन् चाप्टर् we come back from Mahabharata back into again into Srimad Bhagavatam, because there Kunti Devi now starts her prayers, and that prayers lasts about 25 verses altogether, and Kunti Devi glorifies Krishna in so many ways and all the protection what she received. It's a very elaborate prayer. Srila Prabhupada specifically made a book just for glorifying Kunti Devi's prayers, which you can see that in that book. Specifically, Prabhupada gave a detailed commentary on the prayers of Kunti Devi to Krishna, because for devotees, that prayers of Kunti Devi is such a inspiring prayer, and also Kunti Devi's understanding of Krishna, and Kunti Devi, such a pure devotee who has been released from the influence of Maya, that Kunti Devi was alone by Krishna's mercy, that Kunti Devi was able to make the prayers to Krishna. So we'll talk about that next Sunday. Any questions or comments?
Prabhu, two simple questions. One, Uttara and Draupadi, what is their relation?
Draupadi was Pandava's wife. She is the daughter of King Drupada. And Uttara was actually Abhimanyu's wife, because Uttara Uttara was married to Abhimanyu, who was Arjuna's son. So, of Subhadra. Subhadra, yes. Subhadra is Krishna's sister. And Subhadra is his daughter, isn't it?
Arjuna married
Subhadra and their daughter.
Yeah.
Daughter-in-law, yes. That's right. Yeah.
Just one. The conflicts and warfare that we hear about on a daily basis ad infinitum through the media.
Yeah.
Especially, in particular for me, the one between the state of Israel and the Palestine race, for instance. Is there any principle left anymore behind any of these, compared with what we've been hearing tonight? The leaders of these opposing parties throughout the world are all talking about their divine right.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is they're fighting for.
Yeah.
Is there any principle then?
Actually, if you look into the modern situation in this world today, you can see there is no proper understanding, spiritual understanding of life. And that's where the whole problem begins from. That identification with the body has gone so strongly that just for a piece of land, people are willing to give up their life even to such an extent. That after all, our lifetime is so short in this world, and when people have identified with the body strongly to such a degree, which is one of the aspects of the age of Kali, that it is likely to happen the way it is happening today, that neither the leaders are, people claim themselves to be very educated today. Unfortunately, from the Vedic point of view, they are not educated, and they have no education, and that is the, this is the result of that. And as you said, ask this question, is there anything left behind? Virtually there is nothing left, really, to say. To such an extent, things have gone beyond control, that it doesn't matter whether it's Arabs or Israelis, but it's happening in so many other places as well, that they are not able to see this, that the life is such a short affair in this world. And it must have a something higher purpose than simply fighting for a piece of land. Whether the peace lies on this side or the other side, eventually we have to leave this one day. We cannot stay here forever. That's not possible, no matter how hard we try. So unfortunately the leaders are not able, do not have the proper understanding, or they are not able to lead the people. In addition to that, more than anything else, this democratic system doesn't help very much. Because when their leaders are dependent on the Prabhupada used to, you know how Prabhupada used to, very strong words about it. And that in the democratic system, because everything is driven by the people, not by the leader, it is the desire of the people that manifests in the activities of the leader. In other words, leaders are dependent for voting purposes on the so-called public. And when it is like that, he cannot enforce, even if he knows something about spiritual side, or if he wants to take the people in the right direction, he cannot do it. Because he is so much totally dependent on the people in all, on all directions. And therefore, whether it is on the Israeli side, on the Palestinian side or elsewhere, every one of them, the leaders are so dependent on the people and they just wanted to stay in power. And they, neither they have the knowledge nor they have the freedom or independence to act and guide the people in the right direction. So, just for a piece of land, if they are willing to give up their lives so much, you can imagine how much sacrifice is necessary to elevate the soul, to protect the soul inside the body. Just for a piece of land, which is dead matter, after all, this five material elements only, there is nothing different. It is the same earth that is present in our body. So it is not properly the lack of education or the Vedic philosophy properly being able to understand. And when the human society has lost that touch with the Vedic culture, everything seems to have gone astray in everywhere in the world. Simply everyone is using force and trying to control the other. That's the only way it seems that things are being controlled. But if you do like that, what will happen is there will always be disaster, one after the other will follow, and nobody will be able to control it. In fact, in spite of the fact that these powerful big men leaders, they are trying to protect themselves, they also forget the point that they are also subjected to death one day. So when one forgets all these things, immediately he falls victimized by the Maya. Maya takes over. And Maya is keeping everybody occupied in one thing or the other, whether this side or the other side. So there's not much you can do except that we have to preach Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the answer, because you can see Krishna has, when Krishna is without Krishna's approval, if we make some different goal in life, ultimately calamities will come. In material life, one has to be satisfied and peaceful. One has to take shelter of Krishna. That's what it is coming to at the end. That without taking Krishna's instruction seriously, if one try to act whimsically, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita very clearly about that, that if you want peace in this world, isn't it, there's a verse which refers to that, that he says there that there is no other way you can achieve peace without satisfying me, Krishna says there. So that is the goal ultimately, that is the living entity's responsibility to please Krishna. And when you please Krishna in that process, we will also understand that what is our position in this world. So I was saying that the people have forgotten that there is a life after death. They have completely left that. They don't want to know anything about it. And they have even forgotten the fact that after death we have to exist still in another body, moving to so many planets in Krishna's creation. All this information is in the Vedic literature, that one has to accept different bodies and suffer or enjoy according to that. So it is necessary that human society realize this and act in the proper way. Otherwise we have simply become lower than animals. That's the situation waiting for most of these so-called leaders and the followers. It's nothing different than that. It was Lord Shiva.
It was Lord Shiva.
Yes.
But he saw this other person, she was taking all the weapons.
Yeah, that was Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was present there in that form, because before the war was over, Krishna has told Lord Shiva, it is in the Mahabharata, that they should be protected, Panjali's children should be protected up to this point. And this was revealed to Ashwatthama by Shiva at the time when he handed over the sword. Now that protection time is over. Krishna has asked me to protect them up to this point, and now you can kill them. It is only with Shiva's blessings that they killed Panjali's children.
But then why did Shiva give the permission to kill
them? Shiva, because Krishna has asked Shiva that they should not be killed up to that point. But Krishna said to Shiva, after that, they could be killed. So Krishna has a... Krishna's
arrangement.
Everything is Krishna's arrangement at the end. And in the whole war, if you look at... As far as we are concerned, we see it as a big event, but as far as Krishna is concerned, it is not. Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and these are all Krishna's different personalities who come to assist Krishna in this pastime, in this world, that Krishna has allowed that, has given the instruction to Lord Shiva that if a Shatvama comes, he could be allowed to kill them at that point. And that's how it's mentioned in Mahabharata about it, that sometimes when you read that, you are a little bit shocked that Lord Shiva could perform such a thing, that, but it was also behind that is Krishna. That Krishna was actually, after the pastimes were over, one after the other, he was taking back everyone who has come here back to their different planets. So in that plan, this was also included, that Panjali's children should go back. And later on you will see, when the Pandavas were going back into the spiritual world, after they have, one after the other, they were going away. And when Parikshit Maharaj was thrown at the age of 16, when he has become the king at that time, immediately he could see that Yudhishthira Maharaj has become so renounced, and he didn't want to do anything in this world, because the purpose for which they have come, that was over. And Krishna was already on the, Krishna was gone back. So they never wanted to stay here anymore. So this was all Krishna's master plan. Behind everything, as you read Mahabharata and also you go through Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, you will see that there were so many things which was planned by Krishna in advance. And it was, those plans were manifesting one after the other. It is a continuity of that Krishna's plans. And that's, everything was ultimately meant to protect Parikshit and to bring Parikshit to this world, so that through Parikshit Maharaj, Krishna wanted to present Srimad Bhagavatam to this world. So that is what Krishna's plans were. Ashwathama is still alive, yes. Ashwathama is one of the Chiranjeevis, in other words, who never died. And there were sages who have seen Ashwathama after many years after the Mahabharata war, who had the darshan of Ashwathama. So,
why is he Chiranjeevi?
Why?
Any story related to that?
I don't know. There is so many personalities who are Chiranjeevis, like Vibhishana is a Chiranjeevi. And there are so many others. I don't know what reason why Ashwathama was given that benediction to be a Chiranjeevi. Why? The reason. The reason that one after the other, Krishna was actually bringing them back to the spiritual world. Like when Krishna's elder brothers were killed, the six brothers, they were killed, weren't they? Like Devaki's children, first six children were also killed. Vedavyasa Maharshi in the Bhagavatam says there, that those six children, they had some karma to finish in this life, in this world. So similarly was also Panjali's children. They had certain time. In fact, all this is teaching us only one thing. That one thing is this, that a living entity takes birth in this world out of prarabdha karma. We cannot do very much about it. A person takes birth, a person dies in this world. It is all controlled, very much so, behind the scene by the superior arrangement. And when those things happen, like when a child dies, mother feels extremely distressed, or father feels extremely distressed. But there is not very much you can do about it. That's actually some higher law is behind it. And when we do not understand the higher law, we get perplexed by that. We get affected by that. And here, while referring to this incident, Vedavyas Maharshi says there, that when Draupadi said to release Ashwathama, it says there that the word used is Bhagavan Devaki Putra. Why Devaki Putra at this instance? And the commentary on that is that Krishna immediately remembered that my own mother knew very well that if your child dies, how much distress a mother feels. And Bhagavan Devaki Putra, Devaki Putra, the word was particularly used there for this reason, family, that Krishna was reminding that his own mother, Krishna's mother Devaki Devi, how much she felt distressed when Kamsa slaughtered one after the other all the first six children. So like this you can see that Krishna is aware what was going to happen. Krishna's plans are unknown to everyone, anyone, any one of us. Nobody knows what Krishna's plans are. But there is, so one thing is very, very certain, that behind everything it is Krishna's hands. And that we have to accept it like that. But what is the reason, when if you specifically want to know, you have to go back and ask Krishna about it when you get to the spiritual world. Why did you do that? Because there is nothing we can do. There are so many things in this world, like people are fighting fiercely each other, trying to defend their point. What is their point to defend in this world? And how much can you defend in this world? But still people are defending their thing. So, in fact, sometimes some of the questions, it's a good doubt, but you can get it clarified when we get back to the spiritual world, there's not much we can do. I don't know there is anything else mentioned anywhere else about it, who their history is, because all these personalities who have come, they have their own history behind them, their karma prarabdham behind them, and they were supposed to stay a certain period of time and go away from here. So tell me, that's the way it has happened.
I've always been wondering, Krishna says that whatever state of being you are at the time of death, you attend to that accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if a person, he dies in a coma or in sleep?
Yeah. The process of death is mentioned in the third canto in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you read, you will see there Kapila Vasudeva explaining to Devahuti Devi what is actually the process of thing called death. Uddhava also asked Krishna, what is death? And Krishna's answer was very, very simple. Krishna said, this death is not such a big thing. Why? Uddhava said to Arjuna, Uddhava said to Krishna that these two things, birth and death in this world, is a very important thing for everybody. Every one of us wonder at some time or the other, that where have I come from and where am I going? So this question everyone will ask. Naturally, most of the thoughtful people will think. One who has no time to think, who is working all the time, he will find it very hard to think even that. He's taking that when the death comes, I'll face it. That's their approach. But anyway, Uddhava asked this question, that what is death? So, Krishna's answer, as far as birth is concerned, we all have gone through that. And we have some idea what birth is like. We all come to this world crying, and we leave this world crying as well. So there is not much difference in that part of it. But death is concerned, Krishna's answer was that this death is not such a big thing, Krishna said. That we think that this death is the end of everything. But unfortunately, it is not like that. It says there that mrityu atyanda vismrati, atyandamaya vismrati. In other words, it is a complete forgetfulness. Today we are in this body in a certain consciousness. We think that I am this body and this is my body. This is all my relations, friends, society, this, that, and that. All these kind of conceptions I have very strongly in me at the moment. But when death happens, at the point of death, slowly when the last minutes come or to leave this body, slowly the consciousness starts thinking about all what has happened in the whole life. These thoughts will start coming in front of the person in personified forms. All the enmities and the friendship, what one has cultivated in life, will come to him at that point. So, depending on the type of mood at that time, automatically you will accept a body in the next life. For example, if you have very strong enmity towards somebody, some other people, you have some strong enmity in your heart, that enmity alone will drive you to accept a body into that form, into that life. Prabhupada used to give the example, many instances like, says about the English and the Germans fighting. He gave this example. He said that the same Englishman could take birth in Germany and the German could take birth in England if such an enmity grows in the heart strongly. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam there is a proof to explain that, how this process happened. That's a long story, comes from the 11th canto. But anyway, simply we have to understand that these three things, friends, enemies, and the third category, which is known as the indifferent people. Like, you can categorize everyone in this world into these three groups. Either you have friends, you have enemies, or those who are indifferent. Now, the indifferent ones, they don't cause any problem, because they are not too friendly, nor they are inimical. You just meet them sometime, and some point they go away in your life. They don't stay in your head so much. But the friends and the enemies, they will always stay. Now, out of these two, which is more powerful? The enemy is more powerful. It's not very difficult to answer. Even if you have the best friend, you can easily forget him. But the enemy, you will never forget. That will grow and grow. Like you, that's what all this Bhagavatam and Mahabharata is telling us. That look at Bhimasena, look at Duryodhana. All these characters are teaching us something. How we should develop our own nature, our own mind. This is what it is trying to tell us. That if we continuously hate somebody, and if that enmity beats inside, it will never go. And at the time of death, this whom you have hated all along your life, or whom you wanted to punish all along your life, that very person will take the form and come in front of you at the time of leaving the body. And the result is that the person whom you have hated, you have to accept that person's body, or with that consciousness, you have to come back to this world again. So this is one of the reasons that in the Agastya Skandam it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that at the time of releasing the body, all these three groups will create problems for you. That if you do not learn how to keep these three out from your mind all the time, they will cause problem at the time of death.
So, all throughout our life.
All throughout our life, yes, to keep away from these three groups. All three can cause problems. Then Uddhava asked Krishna, what happens then to a devotee? Krishna said, that's a good question. That if a devotee is thinks about Krishna, that all the time he is serving and serving Krishna all the time and thinking about him, at the time of death he gets Krishna's body or he goes back to Krishna's planet. So this is the way the process of transmigration happens.
But even while serving Krishna we are thinking of other things.
You may, but at the moment, that is why it's necessary to come back to Krishna again. By practice and training, one has to get the mind to develop that Krishna consciousness strongly in one's mind. So anyway, what happens is that as soon as you leave the body, you do not accept the body. Immediately the next body is not there. There is a lot of things before that to happen. And Vedic literature tells us all about what happens after the death. Now, your question was about coma, what happens in a coma condition if one dies. Actually, coma condition means, what is actually happening is, his senses have come to a stoppage. Only the senses have come to stoppage. He is not able to, the dying person is not able to communicate with us externally. But inside his mind and inside his heart, all the thoughts are still coming back to him. That does not leave him. So it is that thoughts and actions that goes on inside that determines his next life. That he cannot escape from that, even at that point. And in the Bhagavadam it says there, that Kapila Vasudeva says to the Avahuri Devi, that every living entity, when it leaves its body, it has to go to Prethalogam, the lower planet systems, the three lower planet systems, Prethalogam, Pitharlogam and Nargalogam, all the hellish planets. So for the first 12 to 15 days, the spirit soul is stuck in this Pretha world or the Prethalogam.
Everyone,
no matter who it is, everyone goes there. But those devotees who have performed nicely, served Krishna, or who have cultivated Krishna consciousness, they don't stay there very long. Immediately they go away to the higher planets. Immediately they are released from there. But those who have performed and lived in this world in such a way that they were not great devotees, but they have not committed sinful activities too much, they get an opportunity to go to Pitraloka, to become a member of the forefathers' family there. And during that, there's a certain time frame mentioned there. And it is during that time that the Shraddha ceremony and other ceremonies performed by the members left behind here will help that soul to get a better condition. Because in the, when who goes to Pitraloka, that is also mentioned in the Bhagavadam. Those householders who have lived, because householders case we have to discuss seriously. The other Brahmacharis and Sannyasis is not so, they go back anyway to the higher position. If they have lived a proper Brahmachari life and Sannyasi life, they don't have to worry about it. They have a good opportunity to go back to the spiritual world or to the higher planets according to their own position. But householder's life is very intricate. It's very, very complicated. Householder activities are such in this world that to acquire wealth, he engages in so many sinful activities. And not only acquiring wealth, he more or less he has forgotten Krishna in many instances. He lives a life completely to busy with his family life and so many other activities. So householder has the one who has more opportunity to go to the Pitraloka. So if his householder has lived according to Vedic injunctions, he has can be helped by the service provided by his family members who are left behind, and that will help him to go to Pitraloka. But if a person is extremely sinful, he will not be able to stay in Pitraloka. He will be sent to the lower planets, to the hellish planets to experience the punishment in a different body. So that is how the soul moves from one planet to another. So the death is not a simple thing as we think about it. Although Krishna has simplified it like this, Mrityu Atyanta Vismriti. Krishna says, it's only all what is happening is, Krishna says, you are just changing your relationship with this body. In other words, Krishna says, another body is ready for you to move on to. In another one, you move into another body. So, people who are thoughtful and who think about life after death and who believe in the Vedic injunctions, they always take these things very, very seriously. Because it is more important than the life in this world, the life after death. Because if we accept that we are spirit soul and we have a life after death, it is that much more important than this few years in this world. After all, one day one has to leave this world anyway. So if we are not careful, if you are not understanding that the movement of the soul from one planet to another and to higher destinations, how that happens, Devayanam, Pitrayanam, Uttarayanam, Dakshinayanam, so many things mentioned in the Shastra, all with reference to death. And even when Bhishma Pitamaha was leaving this body, he has waited for Uttarayanam to come. Why Uttarayanam was auspicious? All these things are there in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Krishna also says to Arjuna that such and such personalities who leave the body in such and such conditions will attain the higher planetary systems. For this reason only, that they had strong conviction that death is not the end of everything, like we believe today. Oh, death, everything is over now, after that we are free. What happens, it doesn't matter. This is our consumption, but that was not the Vedic consumption.
When Ashwatthama fired Brahmastra to Krishna, Arjuna and
Ashwatthama.
When he fired Brahmastra first time.
Yeah.
Was it the same Brahmastra that hit Uttara?
Yes, he fired the second time. To Uttara Devi. Apparently it says in the Mahabharata that it was redirected towards Uttara's womb. Arjuna pulled it back, but it didn't affect the Pandavas, but it was resent back to Uttara's womb. Because by killing Uttara's child, Ashwatthama wanted to make this world completely free from Pandavas. He wanted to destroy them forever. That was the intention behind it.
Second question, following your last point, when people are in coma and they are in hospital and they are in life support machine for a long, long time, and when the doctor decides to switch it off, is that right? Is it supposed to be sort of killing the person?
First of all, I think the way I understand it is like this. I don't say this is the right one, but my understanding is this. To make a living entity to live in this world by providing this life support machine and all, doesn't seem to me that it is the doctors can say better, that is the real solution to the problems. Even people who are dying in this world before this life support machine was invented for millions of years. And life support machine, perhaps during some treatment it may be helping them if they can come back to life. But majority of cases, I think they pull the plug at some point or the other. And what have we gained by keeping a living entity in this world? His karma will follow anyway. At the end, that is what will determine whether he should live or die. There is a higher law beyond the life support machine which decides a person should live or die. So is it not better to leave it to that law to decide that rather than trying to alter that? We cannot alter very much in these things. And sometimes this life support machine, you support the person for so long a time, and simply instead of chanting Hare Krishna and allowing him to go to a better destination, we make his life more distressful and proclaim to the world, oh, we have kept him alive for so many days more. What are we gaining from that? So I don't know, this is another question, but the point is that how one can get an opportunity to remember Krishna and to chant the holy name at the time of death is more important than life support machine or anything else.
I couldn't quite understand why they left Duryodhana there just to die. What is the, he said about standing on his head, that's really bad, you shouldn't do that. Maybe he was like going to finish him off.
Yeah.
But just to leave him there, I couldn't quite understand.
The main reason for that was that Duryodhana was very offensive to Krishna. And when Krishna is blasphemed, anybody, even not only Duryodhana, even in this world today, if you start blaspheming Krishna, some people just don't like Krishna. They cannot appreciate Krishna. They think that there are personalities in this world who still don't like Krishna. And they have this nature that every time they get an opportunity, they will try to condemn Krishna in every possible way. So it was decided that when Pandavas were about to leave, Duryodhana picked up this argument with Krishna. And he started talking about Krishna in such an abusive language that for all what Krishna has done. And Krishna was actually offended by Duryodhana when he went to convey the message to him, to them, that to protect to provide the land for the Pandavas, the Krishna's mission. And at that time, the way Duryodhana has acted, the way Duryodhana has acted was not very admirable. In fact, you have to remember two things in this. One, if you glorify Krishna, exactly like if you criticize Krishna, or in other words, if you try to, how do you say, denigrate Krishna, or speak ill of Krishna, or because of envy, or because of ill feelings towards Krishna. Some people just don't, like Shishupal was one of those characters who just couldn't bear to see Krishna any time. So in the Rajasuya sacrifice, Shishupal spoke so many things, and all those things was already enough for him to die. So Krishna finished him up straight away. So these two things happen. If you condemn Krishna, you can expect a lot of disaster in life. And the opposite is also true. If you glorify Krishna, you can also, Krishna will reward that person. Anybody who glorifies Krishna all the time, Krishna will make sure that that person is protected. So this is two sides of Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Duryodhana is not such an important person that he could go on criticizing Krishna like that. Up to the last point, you cannot expect any more mercy from Krishna than what Krishna has shown to Duryodhana. That much mercy Krishna has shown to him. But the result was that, like Vidura said to Dhritarashtra Maharaj, this Duryodhana is the total and complete incarnation of Kali Yuga in all ways. That's how he described to him. Offending Vidura, offending all the devotees, and above all than that, offending Krishna, the Supreme Lord Himself, that was enough for him to meet with a death like that. That is the result of our own activities. That is why we it says the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is at different points. Vena's story is teaching the same thing. King Vena, who did the same thing. He said to the sages, he told that there is no God. If there is a God, I am the God, he said. And one sage among the sages asked him that, what did you say? Before he could say anything, Vena was lying dead there. And it says that Veda Vyas, Tadaiva Achyuta Nindaya. Achyuta Nindaya means if you offend the Krishna any time, Achyuta Nindaya, insulting Krishna, speaking like that, anything can happen. Not only dying, but even death in this way can happen. Because ultimately everything is in Krishna's control. Krishna decides how one should die. Even that you will see when come to Bhishma's glorification of Krishna, where death and how one should approach death with the Krishna's help. And it's a different scene altogether. To Duryodhana, Krishna left him to die like this. To Bhishma, Krishna went there to see him. So why? Why is that reason? What's the reason why this happened? Reason is this. Bhishma was a devotee. Duryodhana was a demon from the beginning. So that's it.
Even though we saw Krishna so many times, he went to Bhishma?
Who? Duryodhana? Duryodhana went to the celestial planets.
Even though we saw
Krishna? Yeah, to the heavenly planets, yes.
He went to heavenly planets?
Yes, yes. Because, yes, it was Krishna's given the punishment here in this world itself, for he left his body. So, because he saw Krishna and at the time of death, he had the good fortune of seeing Krishna. And he did go back to the spiritual world, because in this war, eventually, Krishna wanted to establish dharma. That was the thought behind it. And that is what he succeeded.
But we should consider some of that really pious, because he was able to Krishna's pastimes.
Who is that?
We should consider personalities like Duryodhana as pious, because they were able to play a part in Krishna's pastimes.
Mm. Yeah, they were invited by Krishna in these pastimes. Krishna was all the demons and the devotees who have come down. They were all come on Krishna's plan. So it was not something that that has happened in a whimsical way. But at the same time, we should not follow the path of Duryodhana, rather we should follow the path of Bhishma.
You said that the first and the foremost offense against the holy name is to blaspheme the Lord.
Yeah.
So supposing sometimes if two devotees have an argument and it's
I don't think you should take devotees arguing very seriously. Devotees are always arguing, isn't it?
Or for that matter, sometimes two devotees, like husband and wife.
Yeah. It's like the husband and wife fighting, the devotees' argument. It's nothing more than that.
So it is not like blasphemy and blasphemy.
No, the blasphemy is something different. Blasphemy is that when when you offend Krishna by speaking against Krishna, that is the biggest, one of the biggest blasphemy, to offend, speaking in a way which is not proper for a devotee to talk about Krishna. Then blaspheming the devotee means that devotees are always dear to Krishna. So if one is acting, criticizing another devotee, it's mostly due to the influence of the lower modes of nature. When you talk about devotion, you will find in the third canto, the different types of devotees are discussed there. So in that discussion, the lowest type of devotee is the one who sees Krishna only in the deity, nowhere else. As far as he is concerned, Krishna is only there in the deity. And he will even pray to Krishna that, let all my enemies die. He won't have even that problem. This is one type of devotee. But in course of time, he will also progress to the higher level. So if a devotee is blaspheming another devotee, you have to only understand that the devotee's level of realization is not very high. In other words, he is thinking that, after all, if he is a devotee, I mean, that's also another question, who is a devotee? So if he is a devotee...
Who is a devotee?
So that question remains, that a devotee, when he means, is that, that anybody who has taken shelter of Krishna is a devotee. That so someone who has surrendered to Krishna, he has a devotee. So it is not nice to criticize a person who has surrendered to Krishna, because ultimately he has surrendered to Krishna. That is his quality. That's his greatest success in life. Surrender to Krishna is not an easy thing. It is all easy to say about it. But when it comes to surrender to Krishna, it's a very, very difficult thing. We all have our own pride and egos and conceptions of life. And we also are suspicious what will happen to me after surrendering to Krishna. This is also there. That, so it is not easy to surrender to Krishna. So if somebody has surrendered to Krishna, that we have to see that surrender is a higher thing. It's a big thing in life to surrender to Krishna. So, and Krishna is hurt when a devotee is criticized. It is as much as hurting Krishna, more than criticizing Krishna himself. Because Krishna says that in the Bhagavatam, you can read all this, in the Ekadasha Skandham it says very clearly that anuvrajamahe nityam puyeye tyankri renubhi. Krishna says, such devotees, he's talking about the very topmost devotees, elevated devotees, I follow them. Why? To purify myself. This is what Krishna's words are. Does Krishna require any purification? Krishna doesn't require any purification, but he says, anuvrajamyaham nityam puyaye tyankri renubhi. I take the dust from their feet and put it on my head. That is how much Krishna value a devotee. So we don't know a devotee's position, who, in what condition it is. We cannot judge from outside a person's heart. It's impossible to know. So it's better always not to blaspheme anybody. Why devote even others?
Just one more question. You write the whole story very beautifully. When I read the Bhagavad Gita, and when I find myself next day trying to talk on something that I read, I find myself that I can't remember exactly how everything that I read. How do you manage to... How do you do it? Secret.
There is no secret if you just read Prabhupada's books again and again and again and think through it and listen to it, what Prabhupada said constantly. And when you listen to Prabhupada, how do you feel? That's my question. Because when you hear Prabhupada, if you have heard Prabhupada's tapes, I'm sure you must have heard Prabhupada's tapes a lot, you can see that something is coming through the lectures when Prabhupada is speaking about Krishna. He brings you to Krishna closely, is he not?
Yes.
That he makes you realize that Krishna is a reality in this world. Krishna is not a god who is dead and gone 5,000 years ago. He is there here today, right in this world, situated within the heart, outside in the temple, everywhere. So that conception comes to us by hearing Srila Prabhupada. So if you hear Prabhupada regularly, and if you read Prabhupada's books regularly, in course of time, and you think through this, what Prabhupada has spoken, everybody can get hold of Prabhupada's words and it will come. It is not something which is supernatural or anything. Anybody can speak about Krishna, but that understanding of Krishna, the way Prabhupada has explained, has something very, very special. Especially to the English-speaking world. Because Prabhupada was instructed to do that by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. And Prabhupada took up that mission so successfully, he was able to do that. And Krishna arranged the whole scene so nicely that although when Prabhupada came and first time spoke, Prabhupada's accent was difficult to follow for many people, for many devotees. So you can see, language is not the important point there. Language was not the main thing. What was then that was happening was that Krishna was working through Prabhupada so that devotees could understand the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. So when they understood that, they realized that the inside Krishna situated within the heart of the Super Soul started giving the encouragement to them to speak about Krishna. So like this, Krishna consciousness is not something by scholarship or by learning. Anything you can learn, it only come by Prabhupada's mercy. That when you take shelter of Prabhupada more and more, Prabhupada give you the understanding to speak about Krishna. And Prabhupada will help also that, because Prabhupada's desire was that we should preach Krishna consciousness in this world. That's the only thing, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said many instances, lacking in this world. Take to shelter is means studying Prabhupada's books in depth, as much as possible, spending as much time as possible, discussing with the other devotees and understanding the message what Prabhupada was putting through the books. So sometimes if you think that we superficially understand certain things, all these spiritual knowledge is known as guhyam. Guhyam means it's confidential. Like Krishna says also in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam. Why it is confidential? Because that is the nature of spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is understood when one comes, understands this confidential nature of it. And this confidential nature is understood by the mercy of the devotees. The devotees can bring you to understand why this happened, why that happened. Now the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about various things. And when you read through Srimad Bhagavatam, and just if you read once or twice the commentary, the translation and the purport, you won't get everything what is meant to be understood by that. Again and again reading many, many times and then discussing with other devotees, you may slowly, slowly you will understand. Then you will think, oh, there was this message behind it, was it? So these thoughts will come. It is then that you realize, that is what's known as realization, that there was a higher message than what I thought the first time when I read it. This will come to be. That is why there are so many commentaries for Bhagavatam. There is so many commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam and so much realizations also. If you start reading all that, then you will understand that Bhagavatam is so much a nectar and it opens up your mind to such an extent that you will never be able to leave Srimad Bhagavatam again. That is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why we propagate Srimad Bhagavatam? Why did Prabhupada pick Srimad Bhagavatam? Why did he spend so much energy in dictating Srimad Bhagavatam day after day after day? Only for this reason, Prabhupada knew that if somebody takes Srimad Bhagavatam seriously and studies Srimad Bhagavatam, that will change that person and that will bring happiness into this world. Because Prabhupada was not expecting anything in return. He was doing it as a service to Krishna and to the spiritual master. So Prabhupada's realizations on the Srimad Bhagavatam is what we read in Prabhupada's books. I think we'll stop there. Although Srila Prabhupada. Now, some people you know, but they're not so friendly to you. They're not enemies to you. You just know them, that's all. You're not too much bothered. But the other two are dangerous, that you have to be careful with.
So this is what Pranamandu was saying, because he said to me that yoga state is bad for envy. He said, you don't learn Pranamandu.
Told you.
Yeah, he said, I was talking to him about sentence. And he said to me that many people carry this bag of envy. And I didn't realize when he said bag of envy. But I think now he knows, I know what he meant.
In the last sermon, in the 11th canto, when you come to the story of there is an interesting story. Krishna narrating about this. And we will talk in detail about it at that time. So that's something very interesting.
One thing I wanted to ask you. The Gandhari, she was very highly elevated devotee because of her power.
Yes.
She knew already.
More than a devotee. She was not exactly a devotee. But she had high in personal realization.
So why did she then give Duryodhana the benediction? Or tried, you know, then he succeeded.
Do you know how Duryodhana was born?
Yeah.
Lump.
He was at the lump, wasn't he?
No, I think because Kunti Mata had a...
Didn't he cry his ass? And then they said that...
Yeah. But I think it was because Kunti Mata gave birth before Gandhari, so she was like
So Gandhari made some mistakes at that time. Gandhari was told by Vedavyas. Vedavyas came to Gandhari's house, and Gandhari said to Vedavyas that because she was, they are both wives, isn't it? Gandhari and Kundidevi. Kundidevi had children. Gandhari didn't have anybody. So she was feeling this too much, and she said to Kundidevi and to Vedavyas. When Vedavyas one day walked in, and Vedavyas was very hungry at that time. So Vedavyas was fed very nicely by Gandhari. Gandhari asked Kundidevi, Gandhari, do you have any special desires? Because sages, when they come, they do that. So Gandhari said, I never had any children so far. This was her immediate concern. And then what happened was that Vedavyas told Gandhari that bring some in a pot, he put all the different aushadhi, different medicines, and told her that keep it and cover it up and keep it cool always. And you will have a child. No, first he said to her that the child will be born, you have to wait, and you will get a child. But by then, Kunti delivered the children. And Gandhari could not wait anymore. So one day what she did was she started hitting her own stomach. Although she was pregnant, she started thinking, because by then 10 months have gone, 12 months have gone, almost 14 months have gone, and no children were born. So Gandhari started getting a bit suspicious about it, and she started hitting her stomach, and a piece of flesh was born from that. So again Vedavyas came second time. So when he came second time, Gandhari said to her that this is the result that I got from your mercy. So Vedavyas asked her, how many children do you want? So in angry mood, Gandhari replied, 100, she said. So that one which was going to come out, Vedavyas said, all right, you want 100, I'll get you 100. Put this one piece and cut them into 100 pieces. Put into 100 pots and covered with some different medicines and everything, and told her to keep it. One after the other, they were born. And the first one which came out was our friend Vedavyas. So when he came out, as he said, he was crying like a man. And everyone got very frightened about it.
Because they wanted to
I think there's a lot to learn from Duryodhana as well.
Because
how not to do it. First thing is, it teaches you how not to.
All the characters in the Puranas are teaching us something all the time. We have to understand from their life, they're telling us this is what will happen.
Yes.
Some of them are telling us, you act like us.
Yes.
Some of them are telling us, you don't act like us. So this is called in the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned as Anvayam and Vidregam. Anvayam means you're telling us to act like them. Vidregam means don't act like them. So this is how Puranas teach us different things. All these characters have come to teach us certain things, and they come back. And that's not that we can help. But the important thing is we learn from them what they have done. Like we're talking about enmity, how that can build up inside, and how it can kill you at the end in that process.
But how do you get release from the enemy? We always find somebody we get on with, somebody we don't. But the people we don't get seem to bother us more. They bother us quite hard. But how do you release that?
It depends on one's own mind. This inimical, always if you keep this in mind, that this inimical feeling will bring me trouble in the end. That's one way to safeguard yourself from the calamity. And because sometimes, you know, in your life, you go to different places, you meet with different type of people, and everyone have a different nature also. And basically, it is the three modes of nature that's working. Particularly, you have to be careful in this world when you deal with people. Always be careful. The five people you have come across. And by constantly monitoring these interactions with people, we can develop that attitude in life, not to get affected by others too much. That one has to develop himself. And that is the story of the Brahmana in the 11th canto. He talks about that what happened to him and how he dealt with it. So it's only by practicing, checking Lord Krishna is the mentor, by not being affected by the other people.
So once you realize that that is the relationship,
sometimes
then you know.
Sometimes it's very difficult. You never know because you're already affected by it. And it's very difficult to come out of it because enmity goes so strongly in the mind. And this habit of enmity is stronger than anything else. Vaira bhava is called enmity. And that will definitely pull you down in your spiritual life. And that is where you have to protect yourself.
One of us is somebody
you love somebody. But you can see one thing, all this love in this world is purely selfishness.
Yeah.
There is no real love in this world. We are simply looking for the wrong thing.
Yeah, but a long time ago, if they have love, they will look for it.